Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. A quiet day on the sports front. We don't really have that many live games going on, but we still got a great show for you. A lot of previews. We continue looking at teams in the Big Ten. Today we'll discuss the Iowa Hawkeyes. We'll also look at the NFC South today as we start previewing that conference in the NFL with the Carolina Panthers. We're going to talk some baseball futures with the second half of the season starting tomorrow, and then we'll get you caught up with everything going on in round one at the Open Championship out at Royal Portrush. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys throughout the show. Any comments, any questions, any best bets that you have, let us know. Send them in to us at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, or on X. We got Scott Docterman on the show today. We're going to talk Iowa with him, but any Big Ten questions that you have, let us know. We'll ask Scott here while he's on for about 10 minutes or so. The show, if you guys miss it over the next 30 minutes, you can check out the Send It In podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Thursday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Scott Docterman. Give Scott a follow on X at Scott Docterman, national college football reporter for The Athletic. Scott, I know you're a busy man. Appreciate you spending some time with us here on Send It In. Want to get into the Big Ten as a whole a little bit later on, but focus on the Iowa Hawkeyes to start. And their head coach, Kirk Ferentz, he's the longest tenured head coach in college football, been there 27 years. I mean, how does Kirk continue to do it, and how much longer do you think he has there in Iowa City?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's one that I've posed to him just as recently as a couple of weeks ago when I had a sit-down with him. And Kirk, he's handled these changes really well, and I think better than I would have expected. I mean, you look at Kirk and you wonder about 10 years ago, man, he's not built for any kind of pay-for-play or any of these new things that have happened, the transfer portal. But instead, he's really adapted to it. He actually enjoys it, and a lot of it's his NFL background. He now looks at it as a way. He always believed the players should be paid, and now they are, and now they're paid what now they can decide who gets what through their the $20.5 million at the athletic department. So he's done really well there. Now, as far as his future goes, he turns 70 in August, and so I think he's kind of on a year-to-year, but he's in great shape. He seems to be energized by this new era. They really did a nice job in the portal, and they have a team that's capable, if everything plays out right, of competing for the upper level of the Big Ten and potentially a college football playoff berth. So in his case, you know, he's done a pretty nice job, and he's got himself a pretty decent team as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, whenever we think Kirk Ferentz, we think about Iowa, it's always about that defense, right? That's where it starts with Phil Parker, who's been his longtime assistant defensive coordinator. What do you expect out of the Iowa defense yet again this season?
Yeah, they had a lot of turnover this year, which at first gives you a pause on thinking that maybe this team might take a step back. But the players that they lost were impactful, but I think they are in many ways replaceable. Now, Jay Higgins may be a tough one. He was a first-team All-American middle linebacker, and he was all over the field, definitely the leader. That's going to be a tough ask for his replacement. But you look up front, and they've got a couple of guys that have gone from being rotational players to actually pretty good starters to now I think they've got a chance to take that next step, and that's Max Llewellyn and Aaron Graves as seniors. And then in the secondary, they've got five players that are really, you know, really taken off, and they lost a couple to the NFL, but in some ways they're more athletic in the back end. Now, if they could be as stable there, then I think this defense is going to be comparable to what we've seen in the last handful of years, which, you know, I don't know if they'll lead the country in yards per play allowed like it did two and three years ago, the back-to-back years, but I think that they're going to be a very salty unit that'll keep Iowa in games and not get drug up and down the field.
On the other side of the ball, Scott, obviously a couple years ago for Iowa, it was a really rough watch on offense. So they bring in Tim Lester last year, his first year. What were the overall impressions in year one with him running the offense? And what are they expecting out of that offense this year? They bring in a really experienced FCF quarterback in Mark Gronkowski.
It was a really big move to get Tim Lester. And his style of play is that he runs a Shanahan offense, which is unique to college football, but he's been in that system for a while in the NFL. And last year, you saw it really take off in the running game. Iowa had its highest yards per game average since 2002. And you had Caleb Johnson, who was a consensus first team All-American, really did a nice job in the running game because of his adjustments with that system. Now in the passing game, it wasn't good at all, which isn't unusual, unfortunately, for Iowa the last few years. But I think that they've made a lot of strides in the offseason. You know, as you mentioned, Mark Gronkowski, last year he had kind of what we consider a subpar season for him because he had a slightly torn labrum, but he still was one of the best passers in the country. In 2023, he was FCS Player of the Year. He led South Dakota State to two national titles. And what he can bring this offense is he can make every pass. He can run the zone read, which is what they'll want him to do at times, some RPO, but also he'll be able to take off in those situations. And Iowa hasn't had many quarterbacks who can do that over the last 10 years, probably. Because he does have great straight-ahead speed, and he's very physical. So he brings a dimension that Iowa hasn't had, a quarterback. And when you combine that to one of the most veteran offensive lines, talented offensive lines, plus some pretty good running backs, and a group of receivers that they're maybe surprisingly excited about, I think this team, this offense may surprise some people. I think they went from 15 points a game to 27 last year. I'm not going to suggest a 12-point growth again, but I think that it's fair to say that this team can get into the 30s this year scoring points on offense, and if the defense can play the way it's capable of playing, that puts Iowa squarely in the upper echelon of the Big Ten.
We're talking Iowa Hawkeyes, Big Ten here with Scott Docterman on Send It In, National College Football Reporter for The Athletic. Scott, I want to ask you about Iowa's schedule because I really think it's fascinating for the upcoming year. Avoid Michigan and Ohio State. And on paper, I think you can argue their three toughest games are all at home, Penn State, Oregon, and Indiana. The road schedule is really tough, though, right? At Iowa State, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, at USC. Like, they got a bunch of games on the road that they absolutely could lose. The win total is at 7.5. What was your prediction for Iowa this season? How many games do you think they win? And what do you think is the toughest game on that schedule for them?
It's a fantastic, fantastically entertaining schedule, but it's also one that is going to freak out anybody who wants to bet on them. Because, as you said, you know, you've got those games where they play four teams that won 11 games last year. However, I would say that, you know, having Penn State and Oregon at home gives them that advantage. And Kinnick is a place where top five teams have gone to die for almost 20 years. Yeah. So you think that they could pull that upset. But then they're playing their rivals, three of them, on the road in Nebraska, Wisconsin, and Iowa State. So that's going to be a challenge for them. I mean, I'd like them over on 7.5, but if things don't work out, I could see them being like a really aggravating 7-win team where they lose four games by 3 points or less because of some of these matchups. But I think, you know, with Indiana coming to Iowa City, I think that's one of the biggest games in the Big Ten this year, because I think it'll tell us a lot about both teams, and it'll really dictate whether either one of them has a chance to go to the playoff this year. And then Wisconsin has the worst or most difficult schedule in the country, and it's part of that grind for the Badgers in October, where they play Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, and then Oregon consecutively, which isn't a schedule I wish on my worst rival or enemy. And so I think, you know, Iowa has the potential to win these games, and they have great special teams, which will help them. But, each one of these will be a very big challenge for the Hawkeyes.
Scott, I think the Big Ten is so interesting, right? It feels like it's in tiers almost. You have your Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon, Michigan tier, and then there's kind of that next tier with teams like Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, Nebraska. Any one of these teams could emerge. Maybe they win 10 games, maybe they just win 6 games. Of kind of that middle group with that tier beneath the top tier, who's a team that you think could emerge? Maybe they become this year's Indiana, surprise some people, maybe long shot type team potentially to make the playoff out of the Big Ten.
I like Washington in that regard. I think Washington last year made major strides compared to where I thought they would sit. I mean, going from the national title game, losing their coach, 21 out of 22 starters, and then they make a bowl game. But what makes me bullish on the Huskies is quarterback. Damon Williams has all the talent in the world. He is an electrifying player. He proved it in the one start he had, but I think he's got a chance to really take the Big Ten by storm. And I don't know if that they're going to be able to get to the playoff. It's going to be a real grind for the teams. As you said, kind of in that second tier, at least if nothing else in perception, if nothing else, but you got Iowa, Illinois won 10 games last year, returns a heavy dose of its roster. Indiana, best season in school history. Nebraska, everybody expects them to eventually get to where they should be, but we'll wait and see. But I think Washington is the one team that I will say I think has a chance to maybe take that leap and enter in the playoff conversation that people aren't talking about.
I like it. Great stuff. Scott Docterman, kind enough to join us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Scott Docterman, national college football reporter for The Athletic. You can check out all of his great work there as well. Scott, really appreciate the time, man. Know you're busy. Enjoy the college football season. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks for having me, PJ. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Really good stuff there from Scott. All right, you guys, let's talk some Iowa Hawkeyes now here on the show. And again, one of the more fascinating schedules in the Big Ten. They avoid Michigan and Ohio State. And then look at the home games and look at all the road games that they have. I feel like all these Big Ten schedules that we've seen, teams had a road game at Maryland, Northwestern, Purdue, one of kind of the bottom teams in the conference. Iowa really doesn't have that. You look at their entire road schedule, and they absolutely could lose any one of those games. At Iowa State Week 2 against a ranked opponent, that's not going to be easy. At Rutgers, that's not going to be an easy game. They're going to be favored, but never easy to go in there. Iowa's probably going to be like a 3.5-point favorite somewhere around there against them. At Wisconsin, obviously a big rivalry game. And then at USC and at Nebraska as well, two of the final 3 weeks of the season. So it's tricky. The home games, though, as Scott was saying, right? Kinnick is where top five teams go to die. I don't know if they're going to beat Penn State and Oregon, but I certainly think there's a chance that they can win one of those two games. And then obviously the game against Indiana feels like it could be a massive game. One of those games that if you bet Iowa over win total, you're going to need the Hawkeyes to win. I think this is the best quarterback, though, that Iowa's had in a while in Mark Gronkowski. I was a big fan of this pickup by Kirk Ferentz and his coaching staff in the offseason. Played 5 years at the FCS level at South Dakota State. Experienced guy. Broke ton of school records. They had a lot of success, won a national championship. He decided to stay there at South Dakota State, and now he's using his extra year to play in the Big Ten at Iowa. That's certainly the concern, right? That jump in competition, going from an FCS schedule to now playing in the Big Ten against all those types of teams that he's going to be facing this year. I mean, there's no cupcakes on that schedule outside of Albany and UMass. All the Big Ten games that they have are going to be pretty tricky. So it's a tough schedule. That's going to be obviously what Gronkowski is going to have to deal with. But with Iowa, the beauty of them is that there are certain areas where you never have to worry. You never have to worry about Iowa when it comes to offensive line. Never have to worry about Iowa when it comes to running back. And you never have to worry about Iowa when it comes to defense. And how about special teams? We know Iowa's always got one of the best punters, kickers in college football. It obviously is about the quarterback and the wide receiver. And the wide receiver room for Iowa. But this is one of the teams year after year, and this is why Kirk Ferentz has remained in Iowa City for so long. Talk about the word identity so much in the game of football and in sports. We all know Iowa's identity, right? Hard-nosed, physical, defense, run the football, win games 17-14. That's what Iowa wants to do. So I'm really interested to see how Gronkowski plays this season. I was a big fan of his. You know, watched a couple games at the FCS level. Obviously, a lot of those FCF schools open up the season against FBF schools, and you get a chance to watch him play. But he's a good athlete, and he can throw the football. They've got to replace Caleb Johnson, who's off to the NFL with the Steelers. But, man, it's really hard for me to bet against Kirk Ferentz. And the win total for Iowa is sitting at 7.5 with the over at plus 120. It's tough, right? Because, again, in theory, they absolutely could lose all those road games. The home schedule, Indiana, Oregon, Penn State, not easy at all. But Iowa, it just feels like wins at the very worst, like 8 games every single year, and you're getting them at plus 120. So I think that's a bet on Iowa personally. If I were to bet the win total, I would look over plus 120 for Iowa. All these middle-of-the-pack teams, right? Everybody loves Illinois. Talked about Nebraska a couple weeks ago. Love them. Washington's been getting some love here on the show as well. But Iowa, just every year, you know, we kind of forget about the Hawkeyes and we look up and they win 8-9 games. So I'd look over 7.5 wins for Iowa at plus 120. All right, let's talk a little NFL. Let's go to the Carolina Panthers for the upcoming season. And when I look at Carolina, the schedule, I mean, certainly doable, right? We're away from these NFC North schedules now that it felt like were absolute gauntlets and ridiculous. And now we go to the NFC South and a little bit easy. Here's my big question with the Carolina Panthers. Bryce Young's kind of reminded me of Trevor Lawrence a little bit, the trajectory. You know, you have a guy who's an unbelievable college player, gets drafted number one overall, goes to a small market team in the NFL. Year one is a disaster. Trevor, year one with Urban Meyer, disaster. Bryce Young, year one, absolute train wreck with Frank Reich. But year two, you started to see some improvement in the second half of the season. Trevor Lawrence, in that year two first half, looked like the guy that we saw his rookie year. And Bryce Young, the first half of year two, looked like the guy we saw his rookie year. But then both Trevor and Bryce Young flipped the switch second half of the season. Panthers all of a sudden turned into a team that we were betting them every week on the show. They were putting up points. They were pulling off upsets. They were covering spreads. It was amazing. And Bryce didn't really have anybody to throw to. He had the corpse of Adam Thielen out there. Now they go out and get Tet McMillan. They bring reinforcements in the running back room with Rico Dowdle. And that's going to be the key with Carolina this year. Is do they fall in love with what they saw with Bryce in the second half of the season? They obviously go out and get Tet McMillan with the number 8 overall pick, the wide receiver out of Arizona. Do they abandon the run and just completely fall in love with the pass game again? Because that's what Dave Canales did when he was in Tampa with Baker Mayfield. They obviously had a ton of success through the air, but they really didn't run the football. I thought the key to Carolina's success the second half of the season, certainly Bryce played better, but it was the fact that they ran the football. They were leaning on the ground game, and Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle, I think, is a nice 1-2 punch for the Carolina Panthers. Dallas Cowboys, same thing with them. They had all these problems early on in the season trying to throw. Dallas starts running the football. They win all these games. That's going to be the key for Carolina, but I compare Bryce Young to Trevor Lawrence because, again, after Trevor had that great stretch the end of year two, they go on that win streak, they make the playoffs. He's obviously struggled here his last two seasons as a pro, got hurt last season, but I worry about the same for Bryce. I worry that it was just a little bit of a flash in the pan. He got hot for that stretch, and now we might start to see the regression hit again in year three. So such a big year for Bryce Young. There's excitement. They brought in another running back. They brought in another receiver. The offensive line is improving. Dave Canales in year two as a head coach. There are a bunch of reasons to like Carolina. I just feel like we've seen this movie before. It's giving me Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville vibes, and that's why I'm really scared to bet anything long-term with the Carolina Panthers. Their win total is at 6.5, and the over is minus 145. I just wouldn't lay juice on a team like that. But also, I don't want to bet the under because I certainly could see Carolina going winning 7 games, winning 8 games. Obviously, the division's not all that difficult. They're going to play New Orleans twice. They're going to be favorites in both of those games. Tampa's going to be down. They play them 2 of the final 3 weeks in the regular season. Atlanta, I mean, those are going to be toss-up games. So the schedule is going to be favorable. You also play the AFC East outside of the Bills. Wouldn't shock us if Carolina won any of the 3 games against New England, the Jets, or Miami. And then also this conference that they get is going to be the NFC West, which is a difficult division, but Carolina, especially against the spread, they could shock a couple of those teams, maybe beat the Seahawks, maybe beat the Rams, maybe beat the Cardinals potentially. So the Panthers are a team, they could make the playoffs. If Bryce Young is as good as what he was the second half of last season, they could make the playoffs. If Tet McMillan turns out to be a really good young wide receiver, they absolutely could put up points. It's just reminding me a little bit of Trevor Lawrence, and because of that, I'm staying away for Carolina. No bet on me for the Panthers. Not betting them to make the playoffs, not betting them under win total, not betting them to win the division. Nothing for me with Carolina. Gonna pass on them. All right, Shawnee Sharp is telling me we got some breaking news here on the show. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson is believed to have recovered from his shoulder setback as the team prepares to report for training camp next week. Richardson has been in Florida for weeks working with a personal coaches throwing the ball with velocity. Also, wide receiver Jordan Addison for the Vikings. DUI case has concluded with a fine and probation. Per Tom Pelissero, NFL is expected to rule on a suspension there for Addison. And then the Rashee Rice that broke, news that broke probably about 2 hours ago. Adam Schefter reported that they sentenced Rashee Rice to 5 years probation, 30 days of jail time that can be served during those 5 years, stemming for his role in a multi-car crash in Dallas during the 2024 offseason. There's going to be a suspension coming from Rashee Rice. So a lot of NFL news with Anthony Richardson, Jordan Addison, and Rashee Rice as well here on Send It In. All right, you guys, let's update you on what's going on at the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. I got the TV on right here. We got a whole bunch of guys that are tied at 4 under right now. It feels like nobody wants to get to 5 under or 6 under. We got a ton of guys at 4, ton of guys at 3 under, and a ton of guys at 2 under. But the way this thing is setting up, we could have ourselves a really fun tournament. Scottie Scheffler hit 3 fairways today, and he still shot 3 under, so that's a little bit scary. He's now plus 275 to win the Open. Rory is 2 under so far through his first 9 holes. He's plus 500. Matt Fitzpatrick is 11-1. He shot a 4 under this morning. John Rahm shot a 1 under this morning. He is 14-1. So the three big favorites, Scotty, Rory, Rahm, all in the picture. And then Matt Fitzpatrick up there as well. Tyrrell Hatton is having a nice round. Shane Lowry went off at 1 under this morning, the defending champ at Royal Portrush. A lot of firepower on that leaderboard, which I think is creating some good value down the board because all those big names are still in contention. And again, you guys, when we're dealing with an Open, especially right off the ocean, when the wind and the weather can change at the snap of a finger, we could get some good numbers on a bunch of these guys. So maybe take some shots. Let's see. I'm going through the odds board right now. Victor Hovland, don't know exactly what he's at. He's at 100-1. I assume he's like 1 or 2 over. That was a guy I was maybe considering pre-tournament. Justin Thomas, who we were talking about, we bet him top 10, bet him top 20 as well. He's 66-1. He did just double bogey the 9th hole, unfortunately. There's some guys. Justin Rose, obviously always a player in these majors. Sam Burns, didn't bet him this week, but has been one of the hottest putters the entire year on the PGA Tour. So it's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But again, because those three names at the top of the leaderboard are all in contention, it's giving you some good odds on some of these other guys down the board. Some other things that stuck out to me are we have some three-ball bets for tomorrow. I went 2-0 on my three-ball bets this morning, so love that. We took Scheffler over Morikawa and Lowry, and then we had Sergio Garcia in his three-ball as well. 2 3-balls I'd keep an eye on for tomorrow morning. They already have on BetMGM the 3-ball pairings for the guys that are going to go off early tomorrow. I like John Rahm in his 3-ball against J.J. Spahn and Xander Schauffele. Rahm, it just felt like, shot a really smooth, really cool 1-under round this morning. I would expect him to shoot another under par round. I don't know if Xander and J.J. Spahn are going to shoot under par tomorrow. So if Rahm can give us something under par, I would look at him at plus 120. And then the other one is Lee Westwood, man, who just feels like he always shows up for the Open Championship. Obviously from England, he is plus 275 against Thomas Dietrich and Chris Goddard, who won the Scottish Open last week. Again, Goddard, the stock on him was high because he's coming off a win. Dietrich, very good on these links-style courses. But you give me Lee Westwood at plus 275. I think that is a pretty good bet. Rory just made birdie there on the 10th hole. He is now 3 under par, and the odds shift at BetMGM. Scotty now goes from plus 275 to plus 280, and Rory goes from plus 500 to plus 400. So how awesome would it be if we get Scotty and Rory battling it out on Sunday for the Claret Jug? That'd be pretty sweet. All right, a BetMGM promo from our friends here at BetMGM. It's an odds boost token for the Open Championship, and BetMGM players will receive a Open Championship odds boost token. If you use the odds boost token at a wager made up entirely of the open wagers to your bet slip and activate the token, score extra winnings if your wager that was made with the odds boost token wins. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Foreign in Vegas. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, let's talk a little baseball here on Send It In. Big League Peach will be back tomorrow as we're going to have everybody in action for the start of the second half of the season. Let's look at some futures, some of the division winners that I like right now, some of the MVP Cy Young awards. We can go through them real quick. AL East, I like the Yankees a lot at minus 110. They're trailing Toronto by two games, but keep in mind the Yankees don't have to travel through multiple time zones the rest of the season. No more trips to Denver or no more trips to the West Coast. Everything is going to be Central or Eastern time zone for the Yankees. That's huge. They should get Luis Gil back here soon. If Gil can turn to form and it can be Freed, Rodon, and Gil as that 1-2-3 punch, that's going to be massive for the Yankees. And I feel like all the other teams in the AL East, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Red Sox have won 10 straight games going into the break. All those teams kind of had their run. Why the Yankees have not been playing well, yet they still only managed to be two games back. I'll take the Yanks at minus 110. Tigers are going to win the AL Central, as we know. They're up like a billion games. Astros are going to win the AL West as well. Look, the Astros, we just keep waiting for them to fall off a cliff, and it's just not happening. They continue to find ways to win games. Hunter Brown, Framber Valdez at the top of that rotation is really, really good. So I like the Astros as well. And then my winner out of the American League is going to be the Houston Astros at plus 400. I just can't get there yet with the Tigers. We'll see what they do at the trade deadline. Their pitching staff is unbelievable. Hinch is a terrific manager. I just can't get there. The Yankees, I can't either. They made the World Series last year. I like Houston. They're playing great baseball, and I think the best value is on them at 4-1. Picks for the National League. NL East, I think, is going to go to the Phillies. The Mets pitching staff up to this point has been really good. It started to falter here the last couple weeks. I mean, that Phillies staff is really, really good, and I expect them to have a strong close to the season. So I'll take the Phillies minus 165 to win the NL East. NL Central winner, I think, is going to be the Cubs. The Brewers just never, ever go away. Cubs are the more talented team with the better lineup, pitching staff good enough to get over the hump, so I'll take the Cubs. And then in the NL West, give me the Dodgers to win that division as well. And then my NL winner is going to be the San Diego Padres to win the National League at 20-1. I think the Cincinnati Reds might be worth a long shot as well at 80-1. They're 2.5 games back. Look, that Cincinnati rotation, if they get in to the postseason with Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, Chase Burns, you're telling me anybody wants to face that lineup? So I think it's just worth a flyer, and Francona's their manager because of the upside if they get in. That is a team I could see making a run. I like the Padres, though, but keep an eye on the Reds as well. We know Ohtani's going to win MVP in the NL. I still like Skeens to win Cy Young. If he starts winning games, he's going to win the award. Pirates offense can't be any worse for him than it was in the first half. I think they'll be a little bit better. Skeens starts to get some wins. Obviously, the metrics are going to stay tremendous. So I like Skeens to win Cy Young. Mizorowski, I like to win Rookie of the Year. And then Bob Melvin, I'll take him for NL Manager of the Year for the Giants at plus 650. There's obviously a chance they could make the playoffs. If they do, I think he wins the award, so I'd look at him. Then in the AL side, Judge for MVP, Scoobal for Cy Young, AJ Hinch Manager of the Year, and then I'll take Cam Smith of the Astros to win Rookie of the Year. That's going to be a fun race between him and the two Athletics, Jacob Wilson and Nick Kurtz, but I'll ride with Cam Smith at plus 130 to win AL Rookie of the Year. Astros Padres is my World Series exacta. That is 100-1 right now on BetMGM, so maybe worth a little sprinkle on that one, and I like the Astros to win the World Series. Give me Astros Padres and another World Series for Houston. All right, let's wrap the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. And again, no going streaking for today. MLB off for one more day. We'll be back tomorrow. My prop lock of the day is going to be Jon Rahm in that three ball tomorrow against Xander Schauffele and the U.S. Open champion, J.J. Spahn, right? Spahn's having a terrific season, won the U.S. Open, have been unbelievable as a ball striker this year, and that should keep him around maybe for the weekend and make the cut. Xander, you just keep waiting for Xander to turn the corner, and he's just having up and down rounds all season long. Rom Steady Eddie, he's really good at the Open. I'll take him tomorrow at plus 120. Dog of the day, let's go with the Iowa Hawkeyes, over 7.5 wins at plus 120. Not an easy schedule for Iowa, but I love betting on Kirk Ferentz because I always know what I'm going to get out of Iowa every single year. I know the defense is always going to be good. I know they're going to be physical. They're going to give good teams tough games, especially at home. And if you're giving me plus money on them to win 8 games, which it feels like they do every year, I'll take that bet. And then my best bet is going to be the Yankees to win the AL East at minus 110. 2 games back of the Blue Jays to start the second half tomorrow, but I think the Yankees are the right play. Their schedule sets up nice for them, and I think they're going to get on a little bit of a run in August and September. So give me the Yankees to win the AL East. Thanks again to Scott Docterman for joining us today on the show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We wrap up the week tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.